The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro-America Report. Great to be with you. Thank you for tuning in. We are broadcasting live from the Rumble DC studio once again. And it's great to be here. Great studio, great setup. And we're grateful to have this chance. Both of our guests by chance are coming in via technology. They won't be in studio, which is our first time. Every other time we've got people in the studio. Next week, actually, in studio, John Schlafly will join us. John Schlafly will join us in studio here at the Rumble DC studio next week. He is in on the date that is the 60th anniversary of the publication of the famous book, A Choice, Not an Echo. So you're going to want to tune in for that. It'll be a lot of fun. So welcome, Ed Martin, Pro America Report. Visit ProAmericaReport.com. Sign up there. Make sure you're signed up for all of our emails that come out of there and other stuff. Great feedback from folks on Rumble, great emails and such from folks throughout the system. Social media can track me down. People sending me stuff they say fits in to the Pro America Report, and we're grateful to have it. Send us your stuff. Send us your comments. I even noticed that out there, some people put a thumbs down on our recent interview with Congressman Barry Loudermilk. I have to find out what the problem was. I didn't see that. But all right. So today, on today's Wink, which is our opening segment, in a few moments, we will have great guests, and especially excited to be checking in with Paul Ingracia. We'll also be checking in with a very special new guest from over in Europe, from Poland. We'll talk with him in a few moments. But first, what you need to know, we open the segment, we open the show, we open the radio show. Every day I send an email out at 8 in the morning East Coast time, 5 a.m. Pacific time. It's called What You Need to Know, W-Y-N-K. Today's Wink is about the theme of the show. What I said is attacks on sovereignty. There is an article that posted over at Politico, and I tell listeners for years now, you go to Politico to look and to see what the left is talking about usually in a pretty sophisticated way. I mean that as a compliment. They're usually pretty good writers. They're people that have had experience, but they're writing about the Democrat left and what's happening. And there's a guy named Ankush Kadori. Ankush Kadori is an attorney, and he writes in the Politico magazine, which, as far as I can tell, it means that they're slightly longer columns, essays, but also I think they pay more. This is a way, by the way, one of the ways the left and the liberals do better than conservatives. They pay all these people to write all these different columns and all. Well, Ankush Kadori wrote a piece, and the title of the piece, lengthy piece, is Inside the Off-the-Record Calls Held by Anti-Trump Legal Pundits. Okay, that's a mouthful. But what you need to know is this is the coordinating group, one of many, that are at the heart of what is lawfare, what is a conspiracy, what is a coup. All those things will fit in. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Transition Integrity Project, which in 2000, the summer of 2000, was managed by a dean at Georgetown Law School. Her name's Rosa Brooks. She went out and she organized these wargaming exercises. And you say, oh, well, wargaming exercises, what can be such a big deal about that? Well, the big deal was they mapped out ways that they could manage, like they did in other countries, color revolutions, like they did in other cities. Think about Antifa and Black Lives Matter, engineered crises that they solve. And in fact, even in the Transition Integrity Project, Rosa Brooks, Georgetown Law, We know a couple things. One, we know that there were a retired military, retired intelligence community officials involved. Two, we know that they talked about scenarios that might play out, including using agents provocateur on January 6th. You heard that right. They actually wrote a report that said this is one of the possibilities of what could happen. Lo and behold, it turns out that it happened. So here's what we know today and what you need to worry about and what you need to be aware of and what you need to take away. This is now a reporter. And he's a lawyer, this guy, Ankush Kodori. He worked in the Trump administration. In fact, he was placed on leave from the Trump administration pending an investigation because of some kind of inappropriate leaks. And at the time, the story was written up over at National Review. This guy was talking about the abuse of government against the people. Now, my question is, is this a guy that cares about the abuse of people by the government, or is it somebody that cares when it's being done against the people he prefers? In that case, he was working for the Trump administration, and he was saying, look, FISA is being misused and other tools are being misused. And from where I sit, you should not object to anyone who is saying stop the abuses, no matter what side they're on. You know, we need to stop that. But more back to this story. The story, it goes into great length. Mary McCord, Georgetown University Law School. She was a high-level Obama official. She's now at Georgetown Law School. She's in the middle. And what is this? Every week, top lawyers on the left, Democrats, former intelligence officials, former military, it looks like, gather on a call. And what do? Well, they plan how to work together. They admit in this article to this author that they were getting briefed by the January 6th Select Committee, the Liz Cheney Select Committee, that just last week, Congressman Barry Loudermilk told us right here in the studio. He said, we have evidence that Liz Cheney was not only knew that it was false, but she did it repeatedly, put out the false message to the detriment of citizens. They were getting life. They were getting death threats, life threatening. So back to this article. Inside the off-the-record calls, every week they get briefed by people in power. You see what's going on here? Big government. In the last 24 hours, we've seen the unredacted filings of the special prosecutor, Jack Smith. It reveals that the redactions that he was making, that he made and now are open to view, were hiding the details of Donald Trump working with the National Archives. Why would they hide that? Because they wanted to get Trump. And more importantly, what they indicated in context that we're talking about, that the Biden White House was working with the archivist, working with the prosecutors. In other words, it was and still is a get Trump exercise. Now, you may think that's good or bad. I know there's some people in here that think that, well, maybe Trump shouldn't have run, maybe not. You know my opinion. Here's what I can tell you. If you think that they're stopping at Trump, you don't understand anything about power. What the admission in this magazine, this Politico magazine, what the admission makes clear is that the people with power that understand how to get things done, it doesn't matter if they're at Georgetown Law, it doesn't matter if they're retired military, it doesn't matter if they were once in government or not in government, or it doesn't matter. They will guarantee that who works together is the people who are in power will work together with people that are out of power. And again, why? We're back to what I call the narrative machine. The narrative machine is when big government works with big media and big tech to drive a message that becomes the truth. So in the case of January 6th Select Committee, we had a situation where the Select Committee is briefing on these Friday calls by their own admission. It's briefing all these lawyers and professors and media pundits and people that are going on TV and on podcasts and in social media. And they're telling them, here's what we're pushing. Here's the angle we're doing. Here's the game we're playing. By the way, we're not going to present this evidence. We deleted that. That's what happened. We know that. I don't know if they said that, but we're going this way. When Barry Loudermilk says he has witnesses that say that Liz Cheney actually knew that what she was saying was false. She was told by the investigators and the lawyers, what you're about to say is not true. We shouldn't go out with it. She said, I don't care. We're doing it anyway. Because the message, they had to get the message. So the narrative machine is driving the message. and changing how people understand certain issues. And that would be bad enough. It is bad enough. It led us to, you know, 2.5, 3 years of Russia, Russia, Russia. But what you need to know is they're not stopping at just the messaging. In fact, the Mueller investigation was kind of a failure because their goal was to get Trump and use the law, and they couldn't quite get it done. Mueller wasn't up to the task. The facts didn't add up. But when it came to January 6th, they could use the narrative machine and then use the prosecutors, use the prosecution, use the legal system against the citizens. That's what this shows. And what you need to know is that is a coup. If many aspects of what they're doing is legal, that doesn't make the totality of what they're doing any more acceptable. In fact, it doesn't make it any less a crime. And so now you go back and say to yourself, what else have they been doing? Remember, Molly Ball wrote the piece, I think for Time Magazine. I always get it in my head, either Time or Newsweek. I think it's Time. And she wrote about how in the 2020 election, all these same people, Andrew Weissman, Norm Eisen, I assume Mary McCord and Rosa Brooks, all these same people, they were on calls also back then. And they never did anything that they went past the line of the law. They said, we're supposed to trust them. But they admitted that, yes, we fortified the election. What you need to know is it's not fortifying anything. It's a coup. And what they're admitting is they don't care if you know. They're going to do it anyway. They're going to do it anyway, and they're preparing to do it. And again, what you see is one thing. What we're not seeing is probably the biggest question mark. So we got to take a break. When we come back, we've got our guest calling in from Poland. We'll take a break. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Don't forget, go to proamericareport.com. Make sure you're signed up. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Fascinating guest upcoming. Not only does she have a movie that's coming out in about a month, but she's also got a companion book. That's always smart to do. Her name is Julie Beeling, and her book, I am looking at the book, but her film is called Beneath Sheep's Clothing. And of course, the book models that same title, and that book is available right away. You can go anywhere they sell books. And so first of all, welcome to the program. How are you, ma'am?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So your background to do this film, and by the way, the film is a who's who of people. Rob McCoy, my old friend Alex Newman, incredible people. James Lindsay, amazing. So it's a really interesting cast. But your background, the thing that jumps out, I know it's partly intentional, is the first thing you say is Julie Beeling was a missionary in Russia in the late 1990s. So what was that like, and how did that spur you onto this film, and why this film?
So it was kind of the Wild West in Russia at that time, you know, just a few years after the collapse of the Soviet Union. The thing that surprised me the most, well, first of all, I saw a lot of poverty and a lot of traumatized people, especially elderly, traumatized elderly people. But what really struck me the most is that out of everyone I spoke with over about a year and a half in Russia, asking them if they believed in God, I was shocked when it was one person out of maybe 1,000 people who told me that they were an atheist. Hmm. Everyone else either said they did believe in God or they weren't sure, but they were open to it. Hmm. That's pretty amazing after 70 years of communism to have that, you know, big of a cross section of the populace that I sampled to say that, you know, they were not atheists. So I ended up coming back after my mission. I went to graduate school back at home in the States. I studied Russian language and literature and Russian and East European studies. And I wrote my master's thesis on underground Christian movements in the Soviet Union, their survival tactics and the tactics of the Soviet state to try to dismantle Christianity.
We're talking with Julie Beeling, and the title again, I should have read the full title, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR and Parallels in Today's America. I once had a friend of mine from Poland say that in Poland, they took us off the map. He said Poland was off the map for 100+ years, but it didn't matter because we had the church. So the church kept Poland stayed alive through the church. I mean, it mattered, but he said that's how they did that. What was it when you think of, is there a Russian culture that you observed, and was it kept alive by Quiet Faith, by momentum, cultural momentum, and or is it gone? I mean, if the parallels you see, there were embers at the end, or was there a full blown Russian Christian culture?
I don't know about full blown, but it has been reestablished pretty substantially with what, Russian nationalism combined with Russian Orthodoxy today. But in general, there were a lot of people I met who carried the flame of faith through the Soviet years, or their families did to some extent, whether it was their grandmas taking them out into the woods to baptize them secretly, or whether I met some Seventh-day Adventists when I was there in the late 90s, who the grandma led us in prayer. It was the most faithful prayer I've ever heard in my life. And some of these dissident Christians in the Soviet Union sacrificed everything in order to live out their faith. And there's some lessons that I learned from researching what the Soviets did, that are extremely applicable to Americans today, to Christians, not just Christians, though, to anyone who cares about freedom. There are some things some patterns that are on repeat. They're very disturbing. And I'm sorry to say, I'm sure I don't have to tell you this, but we're in the end stages of a Marxist cultural revolution here in America. And what happens after the culture's overtaken? Well, the government.
Again, Julie Beeling is our guest, and the website is beneathsheepsclothing.movie, and you can find out more about it. Why that title? The title's great. And, my old boss, late Phyllis Schlafly, said 50% of a book or something is the title. It just is. That's how she would think about it. But why that title? Explain how it fits together, what you're trying to do there.
Well, I mean, communism is a wolf in sheep's clothing. It promises all kinds of things. It's going to, uplift the masses, liberate people from oppression. But the true fruits of communism are impoverishment, enslavement, and death. So it is the ultimate wolf in sheep's clothing.
Are the patterns that you see in America, are they particularly because like Pastor McCoy and Alex Newman, when I see these participants in your film, are such living Christians and leaders in Christianity. Is part of the pattern that they undermine the churches? Is that one of the things that's necessary? And again, I cycle back to you said that they hadn't sort of the people hadn't been lost completely. But it feels like in America, so many of our churches are actually actively, leading in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Well, in the Soviet Union, after World War II, they came up with a more sophisticated set of tactics other than just executing and imprisoning and torturing Christians and persecuting all Christians. They stopped the wholesale persecution of Christians. And instead, they persecuted only the fringe groups, and then they infiltrated the churches with KGB agents, control the churches from within. And I'm sorry to say that America's churches have been infiltrated with communists, avowed communists, beginning over a century ago. And there's more, but that's the nutshell.
Well, and it's, again, the film is Beneath Sheep's Clothing, comes out in about another month in the middle of May, and the book is available now. What do you do about it? Again, you've studied, you've seen it overseas, you've seen it in this old Soviet Union. Now you've seen 25 years of what happens after, after the fall of the Soviet system. And my old boss, late Phyllis Schlafly, say, okay, I'll tell you everything that's wrong. Now, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it?
Well, I mean, we're actually, my book provides some solutions. We need to protect our children from the indoctrination in the schools. I homeschool my son personally. I highly recommend homeschooling or alternative schooling. Mm-hmm. To get the communism, the Marxism out of the churches, we need to reach the leaders of the churches, and we need to share this information with them, detailed information. And then if churches won't change, then people need to perhaps think of going elsewhere to a church that is based on the Bible, on scripture, instead of on social justice and some of these other things. And we have a tough road ahead of us. We're actually putting together some extremely detailed information for people to give extremely detailed solutions. I'm going to be interviewing people who are on the ground getting results. There's not time to show all this information in the film or even in the book, but we have a movement we're putting together to be able to give people extremely detailed solutions.
Beneath sheep's clothing.com. I should have said too, is Oh, dot movie. Oh, well, I got beneathsheepsclothing.com /documentary up on the, but
that's
anyway.
That's the very old one. Go to.
Okay, good to know. I'm good. Yeah. Beneathsheepsclothing.movie to find out more about the details and about the book. Are you optimistic? Again, and I don't mean that in a silly way. I know you have to be, and you're a mother. You talked about your son, and you're, you know, you're a believer, and so you know the future. But are you optimistic about America?
Depends on the day. at the moment, I'm concerned. to be honest. Yeah, we need to have a mass awakening right away. And honestly, and I've just been thinking about this a lot. We need the churches to rise up, and that's. If we hadn't had the churches rising up during the American Revolution, there probably would not have been an American Revolution. And I think it's a similar situation. We need the churches to rise up, to throw off the infiltration, to throw off the complacency and the fear. And it is scary, but the Soviet Christians, I'm excited to bring their story to a larger audience. They inspire me, and we can do it too. We can rise up.
We're talking with Julie Beeling, and her website is Beneath Sheep's Clothing, and we're almost out of time. I have less than a minute, but I what I was going to say was, I think you'll say, and I think the movie, I've seen not the whole thing, but I've seen a bunch of excerpts and the trailer. The solution's not politics. It may be a piece of it, but it's not politics, right? It's much bigger, and it's much more important, broadly speaking, than politics.
Yeah, well, I focus on aspects of culture that we have more control over. And I mean, politics is important too. I think local and state politics is even more important than federal. But as far as culture goes, we need to protect our children from being indoctrinated. And we need to help our churches to understand these agendas and rise up.
Julie Beeling, thank you. Beneath Sheep's Clothing. Again, the book is available anywhere you get books right now. And also her movie will be available. I'll put a link up. And it's about a month from now, a little bit, maybe a month to the day, actually, at least the launch date. And we'll either have her back again or maybe have one of her participants in the movie on beneathsheepsclothing.movie. Thank you. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. All the links up in social media. Be right back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Again, as usual, I had a great conversation for about 5 minutes with our next guest that we didn't record. And so here we are. I should have turned on the mic. His name is Jack Ryan. The other day I was getting ready for this interview and I said, I'm talking to Jack Ryan. This is great. Tom Clancy and all. And Jack Ryan, though, much more interesting than Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. Yeah. He's an attorney. He started businesses. He went to all the elite schools, not all of them, but he went to Dartmouth and I think Harvard. And he has stood up extraordinarily. And the place I saw the most on him was in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago, that weekend interview. If you follow the Wall Street Journal, it's really, I guess it's worth reading every day, but it's certainly worth reading on the weekends. And one of the things is the weekend interview where there's a longer conversation with someone. And in this case, it was Jack Ryan talking about realtors, talking about what is happening and how there's a sort of cartel telling you must buy, even if it's not in your real interest, he would say. So that's enough. Jack Ryan, welcome. How are you?
I'm so glad to be here. Please don't hold it against me about those schools I went to.
Exactly.
I don't want any affiliation with
that. I did that on purpose. Plus, you're a lawyer. I mean, we got it all.
Okay,
all right.
Fine.
All right. So, Jack, tell us. We saw the stories. We saw a coverage of it. But what's going on? What is happening? And what do you see? Why are you spending your time? You're not a kid. You're in your 60s. You've been successful. You don't probably need this. Why are you spending your time talking about this? What's going on here?
Well, it's so important to me because it's so important to so many Americans that, you know, you care so much about. And so do I. There's these inflated fees attached to buying or selling a home. That's always 5.5 to 6% in the U.S. By the way, in England or Scotland or Singapore, or Malaysia, pick your country. It's 1% to 1.5% to sell or buy a home, not 6%. And these 6% fees are just absolutely massive, including When you chatted last week with your guest about, you know, the average price of a home in the U.S. is now $400,000 and the average mortgage payment's now $3,100, the price of those homes drop by 10% if we get rid of these realtor fees that are just really set up to benefit the realtor, not the consumer. So that's one issue. And the second issue is kind of this all this hectoring that you have to buy a home, I guess, 11th commandment of life. And as you were talking about last week, when it's, you know, $3,100 before maintenance, before property taxes, maybe I should rent rather than buying it and then wait for the market to come back to normal. So everyone should look at this not as a commandment, but just like a sale, a buy versus lease analysis. You know, is it better for me to buy something or lease something like a car? That's the other thing I want to convey to your listeners is don't believe the hype that you have to own a home.
Is it, we're talking with Jack Ryan, and again, he's been in business. And then I did note in your biography, he went and taught school for years in inner city. And so he has varied background, a close observer, participant in politics also. This system, when you look at it, the realtor system, is it ripe for collapse? Is it ripe for reform? Why is it a drag on everybody's conduct? Is it just they have good lobbyists?
Yeah, really, but people don't know this. National Association of Realtors is the largest lobbying group in the federal government in D.C. Some people say, no, it's the teachers union. Well, if you add up both teachers unions, you get close to how much realtors spend on lobbying, about $80 to $100 million per year at the federal level alone. But people don't realize how powerful they are. And so they have these, and one of the reasons they're so powerful is they collect these huge dues. How they could collect huge dues? Because they have this 5.5% to 6% fee to buy or sell a home. And you talked about, like, what's the benefit to the American consumer if these prices, you know, went away? Well, one, of course, take 5% off that $400,000 home you spoke about last week. Now we're at 380.
Right.
And by the way, the developers for homes, they make about 7-8% margins. If you took off this 5% fee, now they make 13% margins. The supply of homes goes up because the return on investment goes way up. Their margins go way up. And so, you know, another way to reduce the price of homes is take out this huge cost of doing business if you're a developer.
I want to get into, by the way, it's Jack Ryan and his co-author John Tamney wrote a book just out of last week, Bringing Adam Smith into the American Home, A Case Against Home Ownership, goes all through these kinds of, when you're told you're buying your home as an investment, why that might be true, but it might be a lie, and it's the wrong language, and it goes into this. But Jack Ryan's our guest. Is there a part of this... was the realtor serving a function at one point? In other words, before you could access, you know, I'm not kidding. You now if you buy a home, you can get a drone look at your home, you know, and look at the gutters. I mean, you don't need, it's not like you don't even have to have the old fashioned inspection the same way. You can get a look at the previous tax, the ownership of, excuse me, the tax liabilities of previous owners for decades. You have more information. But was there a time where a realtor did play a bigger role and then they sort of oversold it?
Yes. Now, the NAR's mission, which is a trade group, has always been to maximize the profitability of its members. Let's just put the National Association of Realtors. They're not a government entity. They are a trade group. And ironically, or maybe wrongly, that sets the terms of competition among its members. Like, what trade group's allowed to do that? Now, to answer your question directly, yes, they provide a much bigger role in the 1980s and 90s, early aughts, when you could not see every home online, and they had to drive you around in a car in the weekends in Northern Virginia or Missouri to show you homes, right? And you go, okay. But here's the proof of the price fix. One is, you know, why is it always a 5.5% fee, whether it's a $300,000 home, a $3 million or $30 million home? And why is it a 5.5% fee, when the labor inputs are down about 50% for the realtor over the last 15 years? Stockbroker's fees have gone down to almost zero. Same with, remember travel agents, Ed?
Right. I remember.
You used to have to go, you might be too young to remember this.
No, I remember. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
You used to have to call a travel agent. You know, it used to be things, you used to have to call a taxi guy to get a car to show up, right? Now you just do it all through Uber or do it online. Anyway, this is the only middleman's fee that hasn't come down over the last 20 years. The internet's taken over most of this because now consumers have information. And we don't have enough time now, Ed, so I'll beg you to have me back on. But I'll go through all the proof that there's, like, if you see a body levitating in Las Vegas, you know there's wires.
Right.
Right. Doing it. And right. Same with prices. If you see a price just levitating much higher than any other country relative to other industries in the US, you know there's wires. And I can tell you more about the wires later. But once we get rid of these wires, then not only do prices of homes come down, but it's easier to move to a different place. If you decide you don't want to be in New York and want to move to Texas or someplace, much easier to do. Guess whose jobs cluster on the purchase and sale of homes? Carpenters, plumbers, electricians, painters. And so the transaction costs come way down.
Right.
Guess what? Volumes of transactions go way up. So you mentioned, you know, the free trade and was supposed to benefit all these people. Well, if you get rid of this cartel fee, guess what? Whose wages and number of jobs go way up? All the trade workers. I could go on and on about
benefits. So I'm going to run out of time, but so, and Jack Ryan is our guest. His book is Bringing Adam Smith into the American Home, A Case Against Home Ownership, from Post Hill Press, our friends over at Post Hill. But answer this question one, because there's been coverage now. There's been, and again, you were a businessman, you started businesses, ran business, you've been a teacher, all these things, and now an author. There's been coverage of the fact that some of the largest investment banks, I think they are, have been buying up homes to get into the rental business. Now, A, they know how to make money, so they're probably doing, you know, in a way what you're saying, they're seeing that the market is going to go that direction. But there are people that worry that they're taking away the ability of people to own, and that's sort of a control thing. What is the reality of that, and the criticism of that, or non-criticism?
Well, I think it's good that they're developing a better market for renting, because, you know, you can rent right now at certain levels, but certain levels aren't homes that you can rent, and it provides a more viable option for some people.
Right.
Especially in this world where industries are changing so fast and jobs are changing so fast. So you want to be flexible in terms of maximizing, as Adam Smith would say, moving to your highest and best use. So I think it's good. Now, if it went too far, of course, that would be bad. But usually the markets are pretty good about that. If you want to buy a home, you can outpay the Blackstones of the world. They're very cost conscious about doing it. And if you like to manage a home, another benefit they have is, you know, they have economies of scale in managing a home. One of the arguments we make in a book, Ed, is should Ed Martin or Jack Ryan really be managing this complex asset called the home? I mean, it seems like it's a misuse. You should, Ed, be spending all of your free moments making the world more free and not thinking about the carpentry and the plumbing in your house, right? That's a misuse of your resources. Anyway, I don't think it's a bad thing. And I do have confidence the markets will work in the housing sector if allowed to.
All right, Jack Ryan, we will have you back again. Jack Ryan and John Tamney have written a book, Bringing Adam Smith into the American Home, A Case Against Home Ownership, from Post Hill Press, and a lot more out there. And again, I'll link to this Wall Street Journal article, which is really helpful, kind of back and forth discussion. So thank you, Jack, and we'll have you back again, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks for all you're doing, Ed.
All right, Jack Ryan, everybody, we will take a break. I'll put the links up on social media and be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report, back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And we're upholding the legacy of Phyllis Schlafly, a constitutional attorney and articulate voice for traditional values for more than 70 years. Now, here's the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
In the wake of the Watergate scandal back in the mid-1970s, there was a lot of pessimism about political involvement. At that moment, politics seemed like a dirty game, and anyone who had real principles was advised to stay far away. Phyllis Schlafly strongly recommended the opposite, however, arguing that it was of tantamount importance for principled young conservatives to fight the political fight. Phyllis's recommendation still holds true today. Even with lawfare, censorship, and canceling, principled young conservatives need to get into the fight. If they don't, this will ensure victory for the left. In August 1973, Phyllis Schlafly highlighted the example of Victor L. Smith, who was chairman of the Illinois Republican Party for 13 years. Phyllis wrote that he did not fit the stereotype of a party boss. He was a businessman volunteer who gave countless hours to the cause of good government through the Republican Party. To put your principles into action, you don't only have to be a purely political animal. One of the beauties of America is that the citizens can easily get involved in the political process on many levels. Being a principled fighter for your values on the state or local level matters too.
Phyllis quoted American statesman Elihu Root and his address to the British people. Root said this, "Politics is the practical exercise of the art of self-government. Somebody must study it and learn the art. Otherwise, confusion will result in either dictatorship or anarchy. The fate of our great nation lies in every one of our hands, and it's our duty as Americans to volunteer and fight for what we believe in. Politics can be a dirty game with lies and corruption around every corner, it seems. But if the good, noble, and virtuous among us stand idly by because they don't want to be involved, politics will continue to be dirty. It requires the light of truth and good principles to cleanse the political world and build a better future for the American people."
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Our mission, clearly stated at phyllisschlafly.com, is to enable and mobilize grassroots activism on behalf of cherished conservative values. You're encouraged today to go online and read the goals we support and those we oppose. Then join us. That's phyllisschlafly.com. Thanks for listening, and come back next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height stepping in here real quick to wrap up the show for Mr. Ed Martin. Thank you for being with us today. What a great show. A couple of good guests. And of course, we kicked off the day with some enlightening, though not so good news about what's happening. Absolutely incredible. And I wanted to wrap up on that and talk just a teeny bit about it. Another couple of things that I think you need to know. But before we do that, let me remind you, go to ProAmericaReport.com. ProAmericaReport.com is where you're going to find Ed's Substack, a lot of the things he's writing about, some other things, including some special reporting this week, as well as going and following him at Eagle Ed Martin, at Eagle Ed Martin on X. But getting ahead of myself, we have a little bit to talk about I want to tell you about. And then also, of course, go to PhyllisSchlafly.com. PhyllisSchlafly.com is where you're going to find the archives of this program. You'll find the sign up for the Wink email, what you need to know, into your inbox every single morning, weekday morning, at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and all the other time zones concurrently. So go there. Those two websites. You don't want to miss them. But wrapping up the show today, man, so much has happened. The ongoing coverage, the media circus, the zoo, basically, that is happening right now in New York City. We've talked about it endlessly. I've been on the radio a bunch today. Ed has been online. We've been doing broadcasts. He's been doing a ton of stuff. There is so much happening that you need to know about and see. Let me just give you a couple of things for the rest of the week, at least, although this trial is certainly, you know, this is going to go on for quite a while here. Let me give you a couple of places to go to see, and then I want to make a couple of points about what we're talking about, because maybe, you know, you hear the wink that I gave this what you need to know of the political assassination of a president, and you wonder, is it really that big of a deal? Is this some sort of cataclysmic event? Well, I think so, and I'll explain why. But just as a matter of making sure you have the most up-to-date information, let me give you a couple of really, really good sources that are doing a lot of talking and working this week. First of all, make sure you're following Ed on Twitter, at Eagle Ed Martin. Excuse me, on X, I guess. We're not supposed to say Twitter anymore. Make sure you're following him, at Eagle Ed Martin on X. He is doing a lot of work, including some live broadcasts with folks there in New York. You don't want to miss out on those. Those are really, really neat. Of course, you'll be able to go from his Twitter page, his X page, whatever you want to call it, and move into a couple of other areas where those broadcasts are happening. But one of them, you will want to follow Paul Ingrassi on Twitter. Paul Ingrassia, who we've had on the Pro America Report here, a good friend of the show. He is doing a lot of live reporting from New York. You want to go and follow him for some on-the-ground stuff, see what's happening. And then, of course, another one of our favorites here on the program, someone I highly recommend you follow this week during the opening of these proceedings as it all kicks off, is Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project. He is at Mr. D-D-M-I-A, M-R, D-D-M-I-A on Twitter. You want to go and follow him. Of course, also, Paul Ingrassia is at Paul Ingrassia. That's two S's, I-N-G-R-A-S-S-I-A, at Paul Ingrassia, and at Mike Davis, at Mr. D-D-M-I-A. Those are two places you want to go and follow. In addition to Ed, you will get some really crystal clear commentary. You'll get a good understanding of what's going on. There's some incredible legal background and political background amongst those three individuals, particularly. And I tell you what, I mean, that's going to be my go-to sources in addition to a bunch of others. But that's the case. That's the stuff. That's where you want to go to stay updated on everything that is happening this week. Now, let me dive into just a wee bit of an explanation. I want to shore up something that I said here at the beginning. We talked about how it is, in my opinion, this is the incredible cataclysmic political event, the political assassination of a president of the United States, unlike anything that we have seen in our lifetimes. And I pray that we will ever see again, although I'm not as hopeful in that statement as I am confident in the first one. But just in these last couple of minutes, I want to make sure if you actually don't agree with me, if you don't see this as being that cataclysmic, if you don't see Donald Trump as this obvious choice that conservatives, that the right wing must make to go and fight the deep state, then let me tell you something that I think is incredibly important. We always hear this, you know, this upcoming election is the most important election of our lifetimes. I think that a lot of people have said that and meant it. And they've been probably not technically incorrect, but they've been overselling it. I think that a lot of people have said that and not truly meant it because they were hyping or trying to get your attention for something. However, I truly believe, and I think that you know as well, this year, this 2024 election cycle truly could be a civilizational event for the United States of America. We are witnessing actively our judicial branch pieces of it and our executive branch pieces of it suppressing Trump votes, suppressing and removing a candidate of the United States. And for what? For what? Let me tell you this. Of these felonies, these supposed felonies that Donald Trump is facing, it doesn't take very long going down the rabbit hole to see what faked up charges these things are. For instance, 11 of the felonies that Donald Trump is facing are for receiving an invoice in the mail. Receiving an invoice. He has 11 felony charges for receiving a piece of mail. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? And then you go down the list and realize 11 more of those charges are from them putting in from them putting an entry into their books for these 11 invoices that were sent. And then, of course, 11 times a check was paid out. You go down the list and see these, 80 something felonies that he's been charged. It's absolutely incredible. 11 of these felonies are simply for receiving a piece of mail, something that you don't have any control over. That's what they're doing to him. And if they do it to him, they can do it to you. They can do it to me. And I guarantee you they will. It's only a matter of time if we let this happen. Go and take a look. This is truly a cataclysmic, civilizational level event for the United States of America. I firmly believe we've got to pay attention. That's my final plea to you. Go and pay attention and see what's happening. Thanks for being with us today on the Pro America Report. Thanks to Ed for doing all the reporting and letting me host real quick. Thank you to Mason, my co-producer, and to you, most importantly, for listening and making this show what it is. We appreciate you. And we will see you back here on another installation of the Pro America Report tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.